Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's time for Seminole Headlines featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, managing editor Ira Schofel, and senior writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
Hour number two, Seminole Headlines and headliner questions forthcoming. Good to be with you. Thanks for joining us. And thanks to Dr. Birch, Birch Orthodontics. You know, I got to tell you guys, I feel kind of bad. Dr. Birch gave me a call on my cell phone sometime last week. I was in the middle of recording something, so I couldn't pick it up, and I saw that. I was like, I got to call her back. Didn't leave a message. I never called her back. I have no idea. Couldn't have been that pressing.
Maybe she just wanted your over-under on the
she could have been betting.
Yeah, the LSU, Florida State game.
Yeah, the Florida State LSU game, she could have been betting. I don't know. But it's more likely that I screwed up somehow and missed an appointment.
Missed an appointment.
I might have missed an appointment.
I don't know. She's got minions that can make those calls.
Yeah.
She doesn't. I don't know if she needs to be calling. But you maybe get special attention because you are the Jeff Cameron.
She might have said, that son of a – yeah, I'm going to call him personally. I've got his number for when he screws up picks on the air.
I do need – I need to – I feel the need, Corey. You haven't gone to the office.
Nope.
You haven't spent time in there.
Should you want I? Me to should take we do you a in show? The morning? You should want me to take you tomorrow morning?
No. Should we do a show from there?
My mornings are pretty open. I'll take you.
But I miss it. I miss it. It was like going to Cheers.
I don't miss going to Birch Orthodontics office.
You never loved it.
I love her and I love their practice and thank goodness they exist because my kids' teeth needed the work. But yeah, you know.
You think it'd be weird if I just showed up in the lobby?
Yeah, I think so.
Without an appointment for a kid?
If you just sat there and hang out. Saying, I really feel comfortable here, guys.
Just bring a magazine.
Don't mind
no,
me.
Bro, do your
use
work there.
Use the free internet.
Yeah, we do your work there.
Use the free Wi-Fi.
There and work.
You used to sit, where was it? You used to sit for like 6 hours?
Chick-fil-A.
Well, if you've got wireless and you have a restaurant in this town, I've spent time in your.
Man, I used to crack up when that was a big deal where like so few places actually had free wireless. You identified which ones did because you had a lot of writing to do. And I don't blame you, but I would crack up because I'd see you and then you're like, I just spent 4 hours sitting in the lobby of whatchamacallit.
Dude, that's good times.
Good times.
But if you or anybody in your family need orthodontic care, the best in the business, the best in the world, the best in the universe.
Best in the world for sure.
BirchOrthodontics.com is the website. Dr. Heather Birch does incredible work. Her staff is awesome. It's all state-of-the-art, latest technology, and they will take care of you with payment plans. They're just great to work with, great customer service, and they have free consultations. So you have nothing to lose. Go in and see Dr. Birch.
And she'll call you on your cell phone.
And you might want to talk a little football with her.
Yeah.
You'll get a little extra time.
Right.
Joel has weighed in kindly, I might add, as he so frequently does. And thank you again for your support, Joel. We really do appreciate it.
Thanks, Joel.
He writes, I'm loving what Michael Alford has done so far. I think we're in good hands. I would like to follow up, Joel, and ask you what specifically has he done that you're excited about? I'm not saying there's
the reason it was probably tail end of the conversation in the last hour when we were saying that they've made this commitment. And it's not all Michael Alford, but
they're
making this commitment to invest in support staff, whether it's scouting, whether it's recruiting, whether it's support staff to help the coaching staff. I mean, Florida State has made a much bigger investment this offseason than they had in years past.
Yeah.
Well, and listen, I will say this. I'm not disparaging Michael Alford at all. I'll watch as everybody else does, and we'll evaluate as we go along. But I do think he's equipped and armed with the ability to do things that no previous AD post Dave Hart has been armed and equipped to do.
Right.
Dave Hart was the last real AD that we had.
He's got the mandate, And yeah, and he should be able to do it. Plus, he's a fundraiser by nature.
Yes.
So the football facility.
God almighty, fundraising has never been more important for this university than now. Mm.
I didn't realize that project, though, the football facility, for some reason, I knew they were going to start at the end of the season, start building a break ground, start building it. I thought it might be ready by next season. It's 18 months. So they'll be building that facility from the end, right after the Florida game, through the summer of 2024. So all in the 2023 season, when they're practicing, there's also going to be a construction project going on right next
to you. It's back to your roots. It's back to their roots, man. The teams in the 90s when they were doing all the renovations at Doak, they had to practice with a lot of construction going on.
You know, I was so proud of myself a moment ago, but I'm going to go ahead and tell on myself. I printed out last week's questions, guys.
Oh, jeez.
I didn't get the chance to answer them, so I could just
answer. They're irrelevant now.
I can get my two
cents. I'm so disappointed. But I do have the ability to reference some questions here that are current.
Right.
Remember that time Corey and I tried to ask questions?
That was fun. But, I mean, you were supposedly reading ahead, but you're reading ahead on last week's questions?
I did a little bit.
Right,
well, I printed them with the best intentions,
right,
and I just printed the wrong group of questions. So
okay.
I apologize. I think I was distracted by the celebration.
So you're right. I said Corey's back from – because that was the last week's show because I'd missed the week before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you post anything on Facebook
this
time?
Yeah. So you went to that post.
I did.
I think I did.
Yeah, no, you did. You did.
Are you sure? I like that he doesn't know whether or not he did.
No, I did. I don't know if I.
I only know you did because it came up on my Facebook feed, and that's how I knew that I should go tweet.
Oh, there you go.
The prompt. Well, you could just get on Twitter.
I've decided to go to the Twitter route.
That's where you should have gone from the first place.
I hope they're talking about asking you questions about Marius Mims.
Well, we could have really used Marius Mims, guys.
That would have been big. That would have been big.
Chris writes, I've heard it said that recruits need to see, quote, proof of concept before we start hauling in top 5 or top 10 classes to get this thing going again. That seems like something that would be said by, say, Virginia Tech or NC State. You can either sell your vision or you can't. I'm concerned. I think it's both, Chris. I think it's both. If you might have the best vision of all time at, say, UMass. You probably couldn't sell that to too many people given what they've done on the field. You do have to show, I think, some semblance of growth when you've had 4 consecutive losing seasons to truly convince the upper crust that are being recruited by Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State.
I
think he's done a good job of selling a vision to quite a few kids, frankly. Yeah. The fact they have top 15 classes with the record that they've had tells you he's capable of selling his vision.
Yeah, but you can only sell it to a point, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, that you have to have some stuff to prove that you're turning it around.
But I think the argument people would make, like whoever made that question,
Chris,
I think the argument some people would make, and I don't subscribe to it necessarily, but I understand where they're coming from, is that if in 2020, if certain head coaches in the country had come into a Florida State because of who they are,
yes,
and because of the resources that they could muster or marshal, that they would get higher caliber players right off the bat. They wouldn't have to prove a concept. They wouldn't have to sell a concept. They are who they are, and that was so. That's where they're coming from. Whereas I just don't think that was realistic. Where Florida State was, they weren't going to be spending $8 million to hire a head coach.
Well, that's the point. Is that who was it you would have wanted instead? That was that kind of high profile that would have commanded and had the ability to lure those players without proof of concept. You would have said Bob Stoops.
Well, and some of the names that some of the people that put their name out there for Florida State at the time were guys like Brian Kelly. There were people like that that had expressed some sort of interest.
Yeah.
But then it becomes a question of, are you just going to get played if you?
Yeah. That's the problem. Yeah. Right. Because is he really interested?
Or is he just trying to get a raise?
Well, the other problem was money.
And you're coming off of whoever it would be their third head coach in 3 or 4 years. I mean, there's just a lot. There were a lot of things going against them. But I understand where somebody like that's coming from is, hey, we're still Florida State. We should be able to go get marquee players. If we had a coach who could do that, we'd be in a different place right now. I'm not saying it's fair. I'm just saying I can see why some people would feel that way.
Yeah, and I think it will be fascinating to see exactly what they're able to bring in after this season, because I think they're going to have a winning season, and I think they're going to have some moments where they'll capture the attention of people that they haven't been able to reach. Listen, we've said this before, too. It doesn't matter that I think that and that you think that and that a lot of the
you know, the fan base is hopeful that that's going to happen. It better. Or he's a dead man walking. I'm going to continue to say this. He can't have a middling season and expect to be here 2 years from now. He won't get fired this year, but he might as well be. And that's doom and gloom, but that's the reality. I think that is a reality.
Well, the good news is they don't have to do anything out of the ordinary to have a 7 or 8 win season. I don't think that's beyond – we're not looking to them to play way above their heads to win 7 games a season. That should happen. And if it doesn't, then there would be a reason to be concerned.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, it is weird, though. I do think that the other half of that discussion is that they could be appreciably better – and the record not be great.
That's fair.
Yeah, because the schedule's tougher.
And they're going to be playing some great quarterbacks. And,
like, if you lose by 3 to LSU and play well, it's not the end of the world. If you lose, I mean, you're an underdog, as we sit here today. If you lose some close games to teams that are favored to beat you, I mean, you really can get to 4 losses pretty easily, and then it just takes a stumble along the way to be 7-5, and you're in trouble.
Yeah. They took such a leap, though, from 2020 to 2021. I know it doesn't feel like it because they only won two more games, but they were awful in 2020 at the end of that year. I mean, they got blown out by everyone. They gave up 50 to everyone.
Well, yeah, that's
I know it's a weird season.
It's a really weird season.
They were so bad in 2020, and in 2021, again, they were close to going 3-9. They won a lot of close games. They lost a lot of close games. They were so much more competitive. So if they take another similar leap, then 8 wins should definitely be on the table.
I've remedied the situation. I can go back over to Facebook now. So
sweet.
I'm gonna volley. You're fixing, back and forth.
You're fixing problems that we didn't need solved.
It's 7:40 a.m., clear skies, 69 degrees. Good day, gentlemen. This is from John. An off-season football question for the three of you. I think we'd all agree that quarterback is the most important position on the team. If so, then what is the second most important position on the team? He says, I can make good arguments for several positions such as wide receiver one, left tackle, one could even make the case for rush end. What say you? And then he jokingly says at the end, I'll hang up and listen.
This is a good question. It's hard to say, though, because it's just they are all of the other positions. There's nothing anything comparable to quarterback. I mean, the quarterback has the ball in their hand every play. And you can make a case that, it would be great to have a great left tackle, but if everything else stinks, then it doesn't really matter. Or if you have a great defensive end, that's great. But if everything else stinks, it doesn't matter. So I don't know if there's – whereas quarterback is one where that guy can make stuff happen.
Yeah, if your quarterback sucks, you're not going to win.
Right.
And if you have a great quarterback, you can beat anyone.
He can solve a lot of problems.
You can overcome a lot.
It's crazy thinking about that Georgia defense that had 5 guys drafted in the first round. And their best player is the Jalen Carter kid, who's not even draft eligible yet. And Nolan Smith is going to be a first round. They're going to end up having like 8 first-round picks off that defense. Bryce Young threw for over 400 yards and 3 touchdowns in that SEC championship game.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what a great quarterback with great receivers can do. Now, it's
they
Alabama.
They upgrade everything.
Right, but that's the best. That might be the most talented defense there's ever been in college football.
Yeah.
And they were at a loss to stop
this
them.
This gets to your point about the need for this offense to take a huge step forward. The game's rules are geared in favor of the offense, and you can be an elite defense somewhere along the way. You're going to play a game in which you're going to have to outscore somebody. I know technically you have to outscore somebody every game, but you know what I mean. You're going to have to win a game 31-28. You're going to have to win a game 34-28, something like that. That's going to happen along the way. The rules are created that way. You're going to get an over-officious jerk on the back end that calls interference on everything, and the next thing you know, you're in a shootout, right? You can't touch anybody. And so you've got to be proficient on that side of the ball. And that is that's the big question mark. How big a step does Jordan Travis take this year? And we don't know. We don't know. I mean, that's why the offseason has been spent asking the question, was Mike Norvell right to put all of his eggs in that basket? I don't know that he really had a choice. I don't know that he had a choice because I guarantee you, had they had access to a premier quarterback, they would have gone after him.
Yeah, Caleb Williams would be here if he wanted to be here. But they wouldn't be like, nah, we got this guy.
Yeah, they wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
It's not like he just said, screw the opportunity to bring in Caleb Williams. It's like, we can't get him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not going to bring in another slightly above middling quarterback to compete with this guy who we probably would run off at that point.
And the fact that you couldn't, man, I just went through saying that, there are other coaches who probably could have increased the talent level here quicker. But at the same time, if you saw Florida State's wide receivers and offensive line the
if
last
you're a quarterback,
2 years,
you're not looking
who
here.
Would even consider Florida State?
Correct.
I mean, they're getting the younger guys who are, hoping that it's fixed by 23 or 24.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see signs of it this year.
Well, it's an important year for Ron Dugans in this receiving core. It was an important year last year, and he failed, and I would have fired him. But they couldn't get who they wanted to bring in. We all love Ron. This isn't personal. But he's got to do. They got to be better. They got to be a lot better. I mean, it's already tough that you kind of come into this season with the group that you have. It's not an elite group at all.
Yeah, the hope is that those three things happening simultaneously. You've gotten better wide receivers through transfer. You've gotten a couple better offensive linemen through transfer. Plus, guys have gotten older. And then we got several offensive linemen going back to Gibbons last year. And then Jordan developing over time, that those three things together makes you a much different offense maybe than what we've seen the last couple of years.
Well, let's hope.
Yeah, and Micah Pittman is a real plus addition. He was so much better than I would have given him credit for when he arrived. I didn't think that guy with that stature was going to come in here and kind of wow me the way that he did in spring, but he did. He wowed me. I thought he was great every day we were out there.
Since you're making declarations today, you already said that Tatum Bethune's not going to be the next Derrick Brooks or Marvin Jones.
Yeah,
that's a safe guess.
Since you already said that,
yeah.
What's our over-under? All right, I'm setting the number.
Okay.
Johnny Wilson catches.
This should be a Facebook question.
25 catches
over
for 480 yards.
Johnny Wilson over 480 yards receiving?
25 catches, 480 yards.
I'll go over 25 catches and under 480 yards.
Yeah, I go over too. I think I'd go under the yardage. Because Pittman's going to have 1,600. There's not that many yards to get after that.
Yeah.
But if you got Johnny Wilson catching over 25 passes, it's not a bust. And you've been so down on Johnny
Wilson. There's
going to
be six touchdowns.
Can he catch 25 passes?
Hey, that's what I asked you. I didn't say is he can have 25 targets. I said
now I'm guessing what the volume is. How many times does he get the opportunity to make a catch?
Yeah.
So 50. Does he get 50 chances and he catches 25
of them?
He gets four a game.
You'll get a picture question.
I gave you the answer. I gave you more than 25 receptions.
I'm just glad to hear it.
Well, that is a lot.
You've been fading, my guy.
That is a lot.
It's not that. It's two a game. It's two a game. He can do that. He's going to get you two a game. He's going to be thrown at a lot of third downs.
My point is, though, his catches will be important catches.
Yes, yes.
Because they're going to be third downs. They're going to be
red zone.
Yeah.
So he can have an impact, man. And then Micah Pittman.
I hope he's
and then if
somewhere
Wright,
right now.
Healthy.
I hope he's getting angry in front of a jugs gun. I hope he's just sitting there, a jugs machine. He's just sitting there catching,
right.
Cursing my name.
With he's got picture, one in his living room.
Yeah. While he's listening to this show, going, Jeff Cameron can go to hell. Catch.
Yeah.
I hope that is happening because, damn it, man. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Ho, 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 horizons. Bar and grill.
It took all the strength I had not to interrupt you, turn off your mic, and go home.
Do you like how I closed my eyes when I sang?
Oh, believe me, that was the best part.
I didn't look at it, thankfully.
It was unbelievable. He looked like Al Jarreau or something. He's like Luther Vandross.
Well, he was making sure it was there. I want to apologize to Horizon Sports Bar and Grill. Their delicious food should not be overlooked by Corey's singing.
Man, that's a great jingle,
gang. Distracting you from the restaurant itself. But Horizons Bar and Grill is where, Ira?
Bannerman Crossing.
You're damn right it is.
North East Tallahassee, off Thomasville Road and Bannerman Road. It's, man, it's incredible food, incredible people, incredible beer.
It's spirits. Where we are a lot.
Hey, before the end of the week, fellas, any week, like you could be listening to this 6 weeks from now, let's all get together at Horizons Bar and Grill.
We're there a lot. We really are. So if you want to see this in person, this trio
never
in person.
Never mind the food. You get to see the three of us.
But, yeah, the food and the drinks, the patio, it's all good, man. It's all working.
And if you sing the theme song, they'll give you some free food, I think.
I think you get the bill is paid for if you sing the song. But you have to sing it like I do.
And tell them Corey's thinking.
With a bar tab.
Yes,
it's amazing.
Correct. It's incredible.
It just keeps growing. They're so kind.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
And away we go. Let's get back to questions. What's up, Jeff, Ian, and Showtime? If you could make it happen, do you want OU to lose before the WCWS, or are you hoping for the rematch in the championship round? No, I want them to lose.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Somebody else take care of them.
Yeah, because Oklahoma's really good, although they did just lose to Oklahoma State.
They did, but the problem is, they are very good, but it's not a neutral site. I mean, that's 10,000. It's the biggest softball crowd maybe in the world.
Our girls aren't flustered by any.
Oh, I know. They beat them last year, but still.
But they're really good. I mean, it's ridiculous.
If you're playing,
they've literally, Lonnie Alameda has recruited an unbelievable level. But like when I was out there last year at the Women's World Series, which you guys should do, put it on your bucket list, Jeff and Corey.
To go to the Women's College World Series?
It's pretty cool. It's actually really cool.
I'm sure it is.
But you also, when I was there, not only looking at the team they had last year, which won the national championship, beating Florida State, but they had just signed like the
12
best
recruiting. Of the top 15 yeah. players I mean, in the country.
That's what they do.
Yeah, that's the best college softball program in America. And if you're going to win a national championship again, you're going to have to probably go through them. I think Florida State's capable. Yeah. It would be an upset, though. That's how good Oklahoma right. is. Yeah, it would be an upset.
It would be awesome to beat them on their field for the World Series.
That
would
be cool
as hell. Avenge last year, but you'd rather not play them.
Correct. Speaking of which, guys, we're getting a lot of softball questions, so here you go. Is this softball team in real trouble if, when Sandercock isn't pitching? The depth there looks a little shaky to me. Now, you can talk about Daniel Watson being on the All-ACC team and all that. It does take a drop-off. What would you say? Sure. Would you say trouble is the right word?
Just like any team, really. I mean, they all have like that one. I mean, Oklahoma might have more than one. But usually there's a pretty significant drop-off between that number one and the number two.
She's good, though. Watson's good for a number two. But, yeah, none of them pitched well necessarily other than Sandercock in the in the ACC
They gave
tournament.
Up a lot of runs.
Yeah, they gave up a lot of home runs, too. Yeah. Now, that's a weird park because it's small and the ball carries there for some reason. But, yeah, that was a little concerning. We'll see what they – I think she's good enough, though, that you give – in softball's different. Like, you're not trying to save arms. Because there are, you know, they can be fatigued, but you're not.
It's more about
you're not endangering them.
It's more about conditioning and
But it's also a different look. Yeah. Like Watson throws harder than Sandercock, so maybe you give them a look at her for four innings, then bring in her.
Mark writes, I sense a growing belief that the lack of momentum on the trail has ratcheted up pressure on Norvell to win big now, as in at least 8 wins in 2022. Is this just the off season talking, or is that really the bar for him to be here in 2024?
I think that's Jeff Cameron talking.
No, yeah, that's what it sounds like.
And you're not the only person to say that, but you have the big microphone in Tallahassee.
Yeah, and I said it early on, too. That created a little bit of pushback, and I've stood by what I said. I'm not going to waver there. I've been wrong before, and I would tell you if I've started to kind of lean towards being wrong, I'd say that. I don't think I'm wrong here. He's got to have a good season, and
well, there is a chance he could be 7-5 this year coming up, and then next year get 9 or 10 wins, and then he's fine.
Yeah, you didn't say if he wins 7 games against this schedule, that's the end of the road.
Right.
You're saying probably under 6 or under.
Oh, 6 or under, he's in trouble. Right. And I'm not sure 7 is going to exactly stir the pot.
He's still not fired, and if he goes out and has a good year, he's fine.
But that's never been his point, that he would get fired. His point was it would affect him in recruiting and everything else.
Right, my point is long-term, you're not bringing in, Corey, the kind of difference makers you would need to bring in on the heels of two losing seasons followed by a 7-5
season.
No,
I'm saying I don't think 2022 – but the 2023 recruits aren't impacting that season anyway. I'm saying if you can build and have a nice 2023 season.
I think Travis Hunter would have made a difference. I think we think that there are players that you could bring in.
Travis Hunter might be here in 2023,
buddy, there are guys that can make an immediate impact on your team that you're capable of luring.
I don't think it's necessarily he goes 6-6. No chance he's here in 2024 because 2023 will happen.
Will
Muschamp saved his job. He shouldn't have. But he saved a job with a good year.
We're having different discussions.
Right. Yeah, and it does.
Plus his rising spear matters more than wins.
It would hamper his long term prospects.
Yes, not have a good absolutely. Year. Yes.
But on the flip side, what I would say the positive to this conversation is, if they do win 7 or 8 games, maybe certainly 8.
Yes.
Or something crazy like 9 wins.
Good God.
They do feel like they're in position with some pretty marquee players that next class, it could be a huge class for this team.
And it would need to be. You'd feel like you were finally out from under this cloud of despair if you were able to somehow get to a play. If you won 9 games this year, that'd be kind of a minor miracle.
We'd be very fired up.
We'd be doing
a week of shows at the bowl destination.
Man, if they go 9-3, gentlemen, I say we go.
I'm shirtless for at least 2
episodes.
I say we
do some shows drinking on the road. Like we go somewhere and we just party for a 9-3 season.
Like dirty, though. Not like Amelia Island.
Yeah, like get down
like
dirty.
Like Tampa.
Yeah.
Can we go to Mons? Can we do shows from Mons?
I don't want to be in Mons. I can go to a hole-in-the-wall bar.
We can go to Ybor City.
We'll go to Ybor. Maybe a little dueling pianos.
There's a couple nice bars.
I looked it up, by the way. Oklahoma has 3 of the top 25 players in the country coming this year. Not crazy. And UCLA and LSU actually have – LSU has more. They have 4, and UCLA has 3. So they didn't crush – Florida State has 0.
Here we go.
It's a little concerning. I don't know what's going on there.
Well, speaking of concerning, Jason is addressing a point I've made. Jeff has mentioned Coach Hamilton's age a few times recently. And now I'm getting accused of ageism, guys.
Here, here it is. You've been here before.
It's not your first rodeo here.
That's well done, Corey. You got me, buddy. Jeff has mentioned Coach Hamilton's age a few times recently, but aren't he and Stan Jones the same age? What if Coach Jones decides to retire sooner than Ham? Nobody cares. Are they a package deal, or would Ham try to go without Stan at least one season? Well, I'm being honest. I mean, I love Coach Jones. Get along with him just fine. I'm not trying to personally attack him, but if Stan Jones decided to walk and everybody's not like, oh, God, what are we going to do? They are, with what they've lost up to this point. I think that the larger issue that I keep bringing up has kind of less to do with age, although it does matter, and that they've lost some very, very valuable assistants, both when it comes to game planning, but more importantly, recruiting. And then they've been, I think, probably will be crippled to some extent with the way that NIL is now. And I really don't have a lot of faith that this program is going to get back to where they were when they got screwed out of a chance to win a national championship by COVID. That team and that program had reached a zenith. We didn't know it at the time, but I really think that they had.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're going back there, man. I think that the writing is on the wall is all I'm saying. The writing is on the wall that they're not going to get back to that. And it's hard to refute that.
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to refute it. I do think there's two separate issues. I think in the short term, which is the tail end of Leonard Hamilton's career.
Correct.
They're still a good team. They're still going to be a good team this year. They're still going to be a good program this season.
Yeah, if
up,
they don't have the crazy injuries, they probably are a tournament team as like a 9 seed. I mean, they were crushed by injuries. They're probably a 9 right. or a 10 seed last
and
year.
And so I think between the moves they've got and they have made and what they've got coming back, I think they'll be a tournament team this year. I don't know, does Leonard Hamilton have 2 more years? I don't know. And then at that point,
yeah, it's tough to recruit
you've elevated the program to a point where maybe you bring in a coach who can make that happen in the NIL space.
That is the hope, that his successes, of which there are a number to point to, has elevated this program to a place where they can then now bring in a guy that does help you in that realm. But I'm pessimistic. There's no other way to say it. I'm very pessimistic, not for the sake of being pessimistic. I see all the signs of where college basketball is going now.
Joel Davis is spending $100 to call you out.
Well, I love Joel, so I didn't have the StreamYard up here. Let's put Jeff needs counseling to deal with his pessimism. No, I'm a realist. I'm pragmatic. I'm telling you, that situation's not good.
I'll tell you something else, though. I care if Stan Jones retires. I don't want him to retire.
So do I, Jeff.
Here we go. It's so easy.
I mean, I love that guy and what he's done for the program. And Stan Jones seems like someone that loves his job. Like, I don't see him stepping down.
Nobody said anything about
why did he say you said he's old and doesn't care anymore.
But yeah. Mailing it in. What do
I've been
care?
Mailing it for years.
Yeah.
No, I just think what you're saying is valid, man. 2 years ago, nobody could have been more excited about where this basketball program was and what the future even held. And at this point, you're like, oh, okay.
I'm saddened. Yeah. I'm saddened by what's transpired.
See that window closed.
I feel like they got absolutely screwed. It breaks my heart. I really believe, not just hyperbole, I really believe they were a Final Four team that year. With the possibility, because if you're a Final Four team, you do have the possibility.
Well, they were going to be a 2 seed.
They could have won the national championship.
Yeah.
They really could have. They would have won those first 2 games in Florida. They would have easily cruised to the Sweet 16. And I think they were equipped when you look at the balance, the depth. Man, I get madder the more I talk about it.
Well, you had 2 NBA, three, I guess, NBA athletes. Like Patrick Williams and Devin Vassell. I mean, those were guys that you just don't find those guys.
And you have an all-time point guard.
You have a point guard.
You have a shooter in the NBA.
MJ Walker made shots, big-time clutch shots. You had him. You had Vassell at the end of games.
No, they were a great team.
Trent Forrest, when the game is on the line, is going to make a play in the paint to win you a game if you get it close.
The free throw line was tough.
Raekwon Gray was like the 8th player on that team.
Yeah, and think about it. All he had to do was wait around and kick out and hit jumpers. But he did more than that. But that's, I mean, they didn't need him to become
the size.
Guy.
They were tough. They were physical. They had it all, man. They had shot makers at the end of games, and they had an unbelievable defensive presence in Patrick Williams. They could play 1-5.
And he was getting better every time
Devin
he saw
Vassell
him play.
Too. Yeah.
Every time he saw him play, he was getting better and better and better. And it's to a place now where, you know, okay, look, we
thanks
didn't
a lot,
know.
Wuhan.
We didn't know that it was going to end this way, but it did. And now I don't see them getting back to that. It depresses me. And that's where age does come into play, where you're at the end of your career and what it's going to take to fight off some of the things going against Florida State basketball now. I don't know that Ham at 74 has that in him. I mean, I would. It's hard to underestimate.
I will say
Clay
this.
Hamilton,
yeah, I was going to say people have taken a lot of L's over the last 50 years underestimating Leonard Hamilton.
I agree with
and
that.
And he knows his window's closing, and he knows he wants to go out the way he wants to go out.
But it may not
matter.
So I'm
not betting against him, buddy.
I would have liked a better recruiting class this year.
Yeah,
they got six kids. I think none of them are in the top 50. And this is a class. This is a team that's been steadily bringing in top 10, top 15 kids. And that's what concerns me. But we'll see what this next class has.
Marlon writes, good day, gents. While vacation in Texas these past 2 weeks, it's clear we have never will never have the money these Texas schools have or that Bama or Georgia has. How will we ever get back on top if they come into Florida and continue to pick off our talent? I'm becoming afraid. Yeah, well, this is a sentiment, I think, shared by a lot of people. You have to hope for some changes in college football. But Florida State is still a program with immense cachet. And if they turn around and become successful – that cachet usually does translate pretty quickly. I mean, we see over the ages where perennial powerhouse programs that hit hard times, when they get the right guy, turn it around quickly. I go all the way back to Bob Stoops when he arrived at OU, fresh off of Blake, and those careers that were awful, where 3-9, 3-8 were the reality of those seasons, and then in a short time, much to the chagrin of Florida State, they win a national championship because he was able to cash in on the rich history of that program. That's true really everywhere. All of the programs that have been elite over a long period of time, they've all gone through periods of being really down. All of them have had opportunities with the right guy to turn it back around and did. Now, it is a different landscape, and I get we can continue to talk about this, but that history suggests Florida State will be great again at some point.
Yeah, and I mean, look, the two things that they have going for them, one is certainly the talent base. But another one is there's a commitment. There is a desire by people. You know, you can have the best coach in the world at a Wake Forest. You can have the best coach.
Right, you're not winning.
And there's no passion. You know, like it's. I was talking to somebody at the ACC meetings about how the most frustrating thing about them losing at Snuggie Hill is that nobody in the stands even cares.
Yeah, they're walking out with the game still going on. Yeah. They're just, what are we going to eat for dinner?
They've got one
past
of the
cheese.
They've got maybe the best story in college football. Wake Forest winning 10 games with one of the top two or three offenses in the country, and they don't care.
Yeah, they don't. They
so Florida State cares. The fan base cares. The boosters care. The school cares. And you're in a great talent-rich area. Yes, it can get back there.
Ryan writes, is Span a bust or is there hope for him? Man, we're talking about bust before the guy gets in a game. No, there's hope for him. His athleticism is exceptional. Yeah. That's why they took the risk on
him. He's so new to the position.
Yeah, he's been playing wide receiver for a minute.
And there's 10 guys in front of him. Like, it's going to be tough for him to get on the field initially. But with that size and speed, he's got a real chance if he can develop.
Yeah, when you see him running,
you get excited. He's an athlete. He's a freakish athlete.
Different than anything else you have out there.
I believe that they'll find a couple of packages, even if it's just the quick game. Get him the ball quickly, and you got a couple blockers in front of him. Let's just see if he can outrun everybody. You know, make a guy miss. He still has to grow up as a receiver. But yeah, I mean, at this point, I think that he's a bit of a project,
which is what they knew when they signed him.
Yeah. They're not under the belief that guy was going to come in and immediately contribute. He's really one of the only guys that they brought in that you kind of realize.
I think he's the only one. Right. Really, I think he's the only one they brought in that, from the spring that I saw that
won't
like,
really
that's not going to play.
Year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. You know, it's interesting. The only other thing I'll say about that before we break is that I'm not certain, and it doesn't sound like they are either, that Greedy Vance does a lot to help you.
I thought he was getting a lot of time in the spring.
Yeah, unfortunately, man, they're going to call that on him every single time.
Well,
he's the most handsy guy I've ever seen at the position.
We talked about the offensive rules and how they're all favored for. What if you just got rid of pass interference and you're allowed to do it, or treat like rebounding?
Like
it has
back
to
in
be
the day?
Like back in rebounding, they're always fidgeting and holding and fighting with each other. You could do that with just like cornerbacks do whatever.
Well, I mean, Deion made a career of not only being an unreal athlete and catch-up speed and everything else, but he was as physical a corner as we've ever seen. He put his hands on everybody off the line, and nowadays I wonder if he'd get away with that. But he's such a strong and big guy, big corner for the time. He put his hands on everybody. And he was so fast, he could get up on you and press you and play man. You didn't have to give him any help because if you beat him off the line, which is rare, he's going to catch up to you.
Well, in other leagues, like remember the Florida State game when Kelvin Benjamin that year Florida's DBs
best. Manhandling. Just threw him to the ground.
Yeah, in the first quarter, first half, they were Florida's DBs were so physical, and it was starting to frustrate him a little bit. Then he was like, "Oh, okay, this is what we're going to do.
Oh, we're playing big boy football out here today."
Because in the ACC, we can't do that.
Yeah, right.
But I'll throw you into the bench.
Yeah, he'd been ejected from the game if he had done that in the ACC game.
It was the best. The eureka moment of which you speak cracks me up. I remember being there laughing, like, "Oh, he just figured out they're not going to call it."
just start picking them up like a little child.
It was a classic man's game bitch moment. Yeah. Some of the headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV, continuing in a moment.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Figured this would come up, and it has twice, so I'll get to it now. What do you guys think about the Tim Brewster noise? That's from Central Florida, Noel.
Tim Brewster's Twitter account, you mean?
He made the rounds, right? Yeah.
Yeah. No. I mean, they do have an opening, at least one opening on the staff when Kenyatta Charlton left, and so they've. But I mean, there's probably been three or four different people we know of that they've been looking at for the position. It's one of those in-house support staff. Deals with recruiting, also as the NFL liaison. Kenyatta Watson went to Georgia Tech, and so that position's been open. And Brewster seemed to be campaigning for it, but it doesn't sound like that's the way it's going to go. We'll see. A lot of these coaches who, find themselves out of work for one reason or another, now they have these analyst or off-field roles that they can try to slide into. And it's a possibility, but I don't.
So Tim's trying to slide into the DMs.
He's been he's been outside of the DMs. He's been tweeting a lot about Florida State and how much he enjoyed his time at Florida State.
Oh, there you go. That's nice.
He never followed me until yesterday.
There you go.
Oh, well, there you go. There's the hint everyone needs.
I cracked him. Oh, hey, Tim. Good to see you. NYKFSU writes, and this is interesting because I think it's part of a theme. And it again illustrates how important this season is. But he writes, with recent recruiting misses and an interest from in-state top talent, especially at running – oh, excuse me. And interest from top in-state talent, especially at running back, linebacker, and wide receiver, is Mike feeling more like the guy before the guy that will get us back, or is that just me? So people are apprehensive right now. They feel like we're whiffing in recruiting. They're not real sure that Mike's doing as well as he should in that regard, to your point and to the – previous question. It's about the fourth or fifth one of these types of questions regarding Mike's ability to make a huge impact with the difference makers in recruiting.
Yeah, I mean that's a big deal, right? You can't, especially the in-state guys, if they're all these schools from out of state are coming to get the guys in your state, that's not a great look.
No, it's not a good look.
3 years in or whatever, we're 2.5 years into what him being here, but that's the one concern I still have about him leading a program. I think he's really changed the culture and done a really good job in everything. I love the way they practice. I love his energy. I love the way his team fought last year. You've got to prove that you can be a big boy recruiter, and that hasn't quite happened yet. But it's also such a different world.
And is it married to winning?
Is it married to NIL money that you're losing out on because other schools have millions upon millions of dollars more to offer? I don't know. It's such a weird landscape to know how, if you're a good recruiter or a bad recruiter. I just know that you're never going to get to where you want to go getting a bunch of 3-star kids. You can get to 7 and 8 wins if you're well coached.
And that's where you'll stay.
But that's where you'll stay with 3-star kids.
But I don't think that's anything new to Mike Norvell. I don't think Mike Norvell looks at this job and says, you know what?
No.
This is the talent level I need. I just need to coach him up.
No.
He would like to get to that point.
But so would the fans. The fans would like him to get to that point.
And it gets back to that question of, could you have hired somebody that could have done it quicker? Maybe. If you had invested more money, maybe you could have. Or you could have invested more money and blown it. The bottom line is Florida State had a lot of problems. Those problems were widely known. That probably affected your pool a little bit of candidates. And then, you know, this is who you've got. I think he's done a good job evaluating players. The things you can say that are positive from a recruiting standpoint are they've evaluated really well. Not just the 10 transfers, the 13 freshmen that came in, early enrollees, almost all those guys are players. Now, are they Jalen Ramsey, that level player? No. And then there's a couple guys who might end up being there, Azaria Thomas and Sam McCall. But for the most part, it's a tier below that. Can he get there if they start having success? That's your only hope.
Yeah.
Has to happen. It has to happen, or he'll be mired with 8 and 9 win seasons, and people will become somewhat indifferent and frustrated.
Their feeling, I think, is that if they have success this year, they're in position to raise the level of recruiting.
I've said this before, and without getting, you know, bogged down in all of this, I think there's a couple of staff changes he needs to make in regards to recruiting. I believe that. Now, I think winning will help you do that, and this investment that we continue to talk about, like Alford and these guys, plus Rising Spirit and others, they get it. It takes money to do that. I think you're going to have to do that. I think he's going to need a little help from a recruiting standpoint. It certainly wouldn't hurt to just go out and win some damn games. Bobby writes, I hear Stephanie has a torn ACL. Has Corey commented on that on the show?
I don't think I have. She did tear her ACL, but she got good news yesterday. She went to Dr. Thompson, team doctor at Florida State, team surgeon, I guess is what you'd call him.
Correct.
And she's not going to need surgery. She did tear her ACL, but he thinks it will probably heal on her own because apparently she did it unknowingly earlier in her life, and it healed on its own. There was evidence that she had torn her ACL already in her life, and it healed on its own, so that we're going to try it again.
She's a tough one.
Yeah, right?
They're walking around with a torn ACL.
Well, I was there when she did it, and she didn't act. She wasn't tough in the moment. She crumpled to the ground like a sack of potatoes into the fetal.
Corey yelling at her.
No, I just kept doing my workout.
Get up.
I didn't have time for that.
Let's go.
It's not what Clark. You're embarrassing me.
Yeah.
Honey.
She's not a Clark woman yet, Ira. You almost said that.
Yeah, well, if she doesn't play through an ACL,
she's never going to be. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'll have to go see Dr. Thompson. My knee just pops out randomly these days. I'm old.
Yeah, it's an old thing,
happens
right?
All the time, man. I was doing yard work over the weekend, bent down to get something, right knee popped out. Same knee I've had surgery on before, so it's problematic. Probably torn. I'm very tough, though.
Clearly.
So, like, one of the things.
Clearly. You're like a
Stephanie.
I'm
probably walking
around
with a torn ACL
right Stephanie.
Now.
Yeah.
You just, like, popped it right back in.
It pops itself back in if I turn just the right way, and you can hear it. It's
I don't think there's anything in sports that makes me a little more queasy than when dudes, like, separate
pop
a shoulder.
It, yeah, and just pop it in.
And they just, like, oh, okay, we're just going to go in the injury tent for a minute, and you're going to play more football.
Woo. What are y'all's top college football stadium destinations that you've never been to but would like to go? This is from Casey. He says he wants to go to Army. That's Mikey Stadium, Michi Stadium, however you say that. Yeah, I want to go there too. He wants to go to Blacksburg, Virginia Tech, wants to go to BYU and Appalachian State. I've been to Appalachian State. We played at BYU, obviously, and Virginia Tech. I've been to Blacksburg. But Army's a good one. That's high on my list too.
I would say Washington if they're good.
I've been to the stadium, never seen a game there. I ran down the field.
So that would be I've been to almost all the ones you'd want to go to. I've never been to Alabama, but I don't know that I'm missing anything. That's an SEC school.
I'd like to go to the Big House.
I've been to the Big House,
Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one. It's weird, too.
It's not as impressive as you think, because it's flat and goes way out.
Yeah, and it goes down. When you drive by it, it almost looks like a high school stadium because
it's down.
When you walk in, you walk down to your seat.
Corey, wouldn't you agree? I think Clemson Stadium is more impressive than Michigan's in that it's louder, it's up, it's intimidating. Michigan's is not. It's cool, but it's not intimidating.
Neyland's cool.
Neyland's great.
Hard Rock is great. I mean, that's an all-timer. That's one of the best.
You just soak up the history.
The history
tradition.
And the ambiance of college football.
Notre Dame is a dump.
Yeah.
It's still cool. It's a dump.
It's not cool.
Yeah, you're living in the past. It's a dump. They need to modernize it. People aren't great. City sucks.
How crazy was it the College Football Hall of Fame was in that dump of a town?
Dump.
Yeah. Now it's in a real town. I don't know if y'all been there, but it's a great city and it's a great place in a city. Yeah.
We're not naming. Have you ever wanted to go up into the sticks and see a game at Penn State?
I would like.
Yeah,
I would too. The whiteout game.
They're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that's one, I guess. I think Washington. I think I've been. We went to the Rose Bowl. We've seen all the good ones.
The Rose Bowl
man.
Was incredible.
Texas A&M. Go, hey, how about that? You go sway with all the dudes.
You don't want to do that.
And you got the male cheerleaders and the
Cal
dog.
You College out so many times.
I know.
They may hurt you.
You get to see the yell leader slapping his hand and doing all the weird yells.
What's sad is you take for granted Doak. And when Doak is right, I mean, it's awesome.
And the facade is second to none.
Yeah. I mean, people.
The inside.
No, I know, but it's just between the facade, the outside, and then when you get in the crowd, when it's going with Renegade and Osceola and the Chop, it's awesome. But I wonder, like, the Rose Bowl, because that was breathtaking.
Yeah.
But if that was your home stadium, would it just be take it for granted?
Of us really enjoyed it from the standpoint of its tradition, its history, and then, of course, we didn't have to deal with – like being in the bowels of the stadium. The stadium is ancient. People didn't like the way that it's laid out because it's old. And seats are small. Everything's but that with the San Gabriel Mountains in the background, you're never going to beat that. That was truly incredible. Probably
and
my
favorite
place.
They're close to the field. I mean, it's a nice.
We're not thinking of one. I'm sure there's a couple because there are a couple that when I watch games, I think I'd really like to go to a game.
I've been to Arizona State.
I have too
for that Tennessee game.
We lost to Tennessee.
Wisconsin, maybe. I don't know.
I'd like to go to Madison and see a game there, and the jump around thing would be fun. Mm-hmm. I like that. All right, RA writes. Has anyone with FSU's promotions or marketing ever indicated that they are listening to what fans say about stadium experiences outside of selling alcohol? At least at Hauser, they aren't putting up flashing two strikes get loud script on the big screen.
No, but they can't do that because they've got a picture of Jonah Scolaro five stories high with nothing else on it. I went on a 5-minute rant on Wake Up War Chant about is there a bigger waste of space in college athletics than what they do on the Hauser video board?
Listen, you know my feelings on Hauser, buddy.
No, the video board is big, about the video board.
You're going to fuel a future rant that I'm already
you were there?
I've seen it. Yeah, I'm aware. It doesn't change my life.
No, it doesn't change anybody's life, but I'm allowed to complain. They have they spent a lot of money on that thing. And baseball is such a numbers-driven sport, they won't even tell you who's batting for the other team, much less what they've done in the game. Give me a home run number, an RBI number. Nope. You don't need to know. Here's a picture of Jordan Kerryon with a bat on his shoulder that takes up two-thirds of the screen.
It's huge. Did you say 2 minutes? 2 minutes. This is it, boys. 2 minutes. Let's get to this question.
Let's do it.
I'm going back over to Facebook.
I want
to
hear Corey rant about the video board.
Well, I share his sentiments there, but I've railed against that whole situation for a long time.
You're done with it.
Yeah. In your opinion, do you think that FSU's president is focused on getting us out of the ACC? Do you think that the university brass is in full support on this issue, or would they be divided?
Man, if they could, there would be a strong desire to get out.
I think most people want out, but you can't just.
It's like Norvell; he's interested in 5-star recruits.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
he doesn't want to keep rolling with the 3-stars.
There's a thing called the grant of rights that's in place till 2036. That's a problem.
But yes, they would in a heartbeat. They would. They wouldn't just get out to get out. They'd get out for the SEC.
They'd get out for the damn money.
No, I'm saying they would get out for the SEC. They wouldn't.
Well, and that's the reality.
Go to the Big 12.
And that that was the thing when the last time it was all up in the air.
I'd like
10
to go
years
to the Big
ago,
10 guys. Just letting you know, I would.
When it was all up in the air 10 years ago, that was the SEC wasn't going to take. They weren't inviting Florida State.
No, but they
might have been the Big 12
rules to do it now.
No, I agree, and that's the thing. The you wouldn't get locked out.
You could tell Florida to pound sand. We're bringing them in
if it were to happen again. But now you got this pesky grant of rights thing.
That's only until 2030.
You know, it's so funny. We're so influenced by like the Sopranos and mob culture and stuff. Corey, I completely agree with you. This thought of like, well, who do we have to off so that we can get out of the ACC?
That's my first thought.
Yeah.
It's like one of my first thoughts. Like, who do we have to take care of so that we can get out of the ACC? It's sad.
Two or three, whatever.
Whatever we got to do, you know? We've reached a level of desperation commissioned to wanting to off people.
That would have been like the 2 days before the ACC meetings. Like, there's reports of like conference commissioners being whacked.
You're like, what's going on here? Florida State's on the prowl.
We go to Amelia Island, and Jim Phillips is just sitting there smoking a cigar when he meets the media.
It's Jimmy from Goodfellas. Take that. Check it off. For Corey and Ira, I'm Jeff. Thank you, Matthew. Thanks to all of you guys. We'll talk to you next week. Be well, everybody.